Here we are on the congressional corner with Senate Majority Leader Charles Schumer. You know, I know you're adverse to titles, but that's quite a title, Majority Leader. Very few people have had that in history.
I'm proud of it that I am the first Majority Leader ever from New York. So I am proud of that. But as I mentioned to you, I still am a Brooklynite, and everyone calls you Leader, Majority Leader. I say, still call me Chuck.
Just call me Chuck. Okay.
Yeah.
So we spoke in last October before the election and before the Georgia Senate runoffs made you Majority Leader. Is being in power with a Democrat in the White House everything you expected?
Yeah. Look, it's so much better than having Trump in the White House. He was the most despicable president I think ever in American history. And it's much better than having McConnell as leader, who just threw everything into the legislative graveyard. Is it easy with 50 votes? No. I tell people, Alan, this is the hardest job I've ever had, but I have more energy and more enthusiasm for it than any job I've ever had because it's so darn important. There's so much to do.
It's amazing that you even found time to talk to us today, really, because I know how busy you are. So you're shepherding, for example, through the Endless Frontier Act, which is a supposedly bipartisan effort to counter China's influence. What does it do, and why do you back it?
Okay, and it's not. It's certainly we want to make sure China doesn't become the number one research center and economy center in the world. But we're doing it because this is the way to create millions of good-paying, long-term jobs in America. When we have invested in science and in research, we create lots of jobs. Just let me give you one example. We invested in NSF. We invested in DARPA. The internet and so much else was developed there. And we became far and away the leading tech economic power in the world. And it's created tens of millions of good-paying jobs. Well, there are so many cutting-edge areas in research right now that we are not investing in anymore. China is. Korea is. Germany is. And if they invest heavily and get several steps ahead of us, they will become the leading economic power of the world and millions of good-paying jobs for Americans and for their kids will no longer occur here. So I feel this is an imperative. We invest in science and in research and in innovation. It makes a huge, huge difference. And, you know, the Capital Region has proved that in a lot of ways. Or even lots of upstate New York. But you look at our investment in nanotechnology. You look at our investment in semiconductors, and it's created thousands and thousands of jobs, good-paying jobs in the Capital Region, giving us a lot of hope for the future.
Chuck, the governor of New York obviously is having his problems and a bunch of investigations going on. Have you assiduously stayed out of that one, or do you have any thoughts?
Well, I put out a statement a few months ago. I stand by that statement, but that's not my focus. My focus is in Washington and getting things done for New York.
Do you still talk to the governor? I mean, I know that you had some problems with his remaining there, but do you still talk with him?
Yeah, our offices communicate on whole lots of issues that affect New York all the time.
Is an office communicating the same as an individual communicating?
Well, look, I don't get into the individual conversations I've had with specific individuals. I don't think.
Fair enough.
I think we're working closely to help New York wherever we can.
So following up on that, I'm sure you want me to, personal communications. Chuck, what about your personal communications with Mitch? I think all of us would like to be in the room or around you when those conversations are going on. What are they like? Can you bring us in?
Well, he's not the most talkative of fellows, but when we have to come together and get things done, we do. He wanted to hold up our original organizing resolution, and he had made certain demands. We said no, but we talked about it and worked it through. We did come up with a bipartisan proposal on impeachment. The previous proposals had not been, when he was in charge, were not bipartisan. So we talk together when we can. And look, this is a general, not just with Mitch. I want to work in a bipartisan way with Republicans whenever we can. But I do believe we need big, bold action to deal with the many problems that have been neglected for so long, whether they be climate or economic inequality, racial justice, improving our democracy. And so I work with them when we can, but we try to go forward when we can't.
How
and that's what happens with the ARP bill. The most amazing thing about the ARP bill, Alan, which it was that, you know, which has gotten, you know, it's one of the most significant, most comprehensive pieces of progressive legislation in decades. And I was proud to play a major role in crafting it and getting it done. But 60% of Republican voters liked it. They liked getting the vaccines early. They liked getting the checks. They liked help for the restaurants. They liked help for our businesses. They liked the vaccines getting into people's arms, money for the schools, money for our mass transit, you name it. They liked it. But no Republican senator or congressman voted for it. And I believe this applies to McConnell as well, that Donald Trump has a great deal of say on what the Republican elected officials do through a variety of means, and it impedes progress.
Yeah, but I often wonder, since they come from what I call the land of no, and they're scared to death of Trump, how they can look in a mirror. Is that a good question?
Well, yes, and you know, what you've seen is that four of them, that's a significant number already, have said they're not running again. And I think these are, you know, this is my own speculation. They don't confide in me into their exact reasons for stepping down. But I'll bet if you could read their minds, they'd say, look, I don't like Trump, but I can't oppose him. Or the only way I oppose him is at risk to my political career. I'm not going to continue. And, you know, Lamar Alexander was one of my close friends last year left. And this year you have Burr and Blunt and Toomey and Portman. Who knows who else? So, you know, the Republican Party, I think, would be a lot better off if Trump didn't dominate it so. And Trump is just entirely negative. He doesn't want Joe Biden to succeed. That's the kind of man he is. It's pure ego. He doesn't really care about the substance. He doesn't care about people other than himself. But he has them. He has the Republican Party tightly under control right now.
So how dangerous was he or is he? He's talking about taking office without an election. He wants to be restored as president. He keeps saying ridiculous things like that. That sounds to me like where democracies fail.
I agree. Our democracy, Donald Trump and his allies, who have fostered this big lie, which is that he really won the election, but it was stolen from him. That is dangerous to our democracy, Alan. Because if people know, well, you can be Democrat, Republican. The great thing about this country for centuries has been, you know, voters line up on a cold November evening in quiet dignity. Everyone goes into the polling place, votes for who they want. But the next morning, we abide by the results. It's the first time I can remember there's a concerted effort to create lies about those results, which reduces people's faith in democracy. And that's a very dangerous thing. And that's why that it was so appalling that we couldn't even get 10 Republican votes to vote for the commission, the January 6th commission, to find out exactly what happened in this insurrection, to find out who was behind it, who did what. We did it in a totally bipartisan way. In other words, it was half Democrats, half Republicans on the commission. To have staff or subpoena power, you need support of both parties. Kevin McCarthy, when Speaker Pelosi went to him, made a lot of the suggestions that she incorporated in the bill. In fact, many Democrats thought, given we're in the majority, it gave too much to the Republicans. But even with all of that and the necessity for investigating what went on, you could not get the 10 Republican votes needed to keep it going.
Unbelievable. Chuck Schumer, we so appreciate your giving us this time. We're going to come back with another Q&A, and then you can be released to do all of the incredible work that you have to do. I don't know how you do it, starting early in the morning and going late at night.
God, you know what, Alan? God gave me a lot of energy. I think I found the right job for it.
a great Brooklyn boy. Thank you so much for being with us, Chuck. And when we come back, we'll go for some more.